Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
We're going to transition now into our time in the Word. And so this week, again, you can join me in Matthew chapter 6. We are continuing our look at what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, this extended teaching that Jesus gives in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus gives this extended teaching about understanding life and understanding our lives in light of Jesus and in light of what he's done and in light of how we are changed and how our perception changes because of Jesus' work in our life. But in the middle of this sermon series and in the middle of Jesus' teaching, there's this section that's known as the Lord's Prayer. And we've spent the last three Sundays prior to today looking at the Lord's Prayer. Today is the fourth Sunday that we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. And today was actually supposed to be our last Sunday, that this was going to be the last Sunday where I would say to you, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6 because we would be moving on to Matthew chapter 7. But as I wrote my sermon, we couldn't get all the way to the end. So we're going to actually spend 5 weeks looking at the Lord's Prayer. So next week, we will wrap up our time on the Lord's Prayer. And we'll have a few more after that as we conclude the Sermon on the Mount. But this week, we're going to take a look at another verse from the Lord's Prayer. And I pray that our time looking at prayer, I pray that it has had an impact on you in your life. Maybe you've begun to see prayer maybe in a slightly different way. Maybe you've made a decision to spend more time in worship in prayer. As we began looking at Jesus calling us to pray our Father in heaven. No, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. Do you know the only sound worse than a baby crying in church? Silence. No babies crying in church. We want to have kids. We want to have noise. That matters, my friends. That we don't look and we go, why would they bring their baby to... Thank God they brought their baby to church. Is those cries, that's the sound of the church 20 years from now. 30 years from now. Like these are kids that are going to grow up in the Lord and continue to follow him for all the rest of their life. And so we celebrate that. Is we celebrate our kids and we celebrate the noise that they bring. We celebrate that. But as we've walked through this prayer, maybe it's changed the way that you feel about prayer. Maybe you've felt more confident or you felt more comfortable in prayer. That as we've looked and we've seen God telling us that when we pray, he will hear us. And maybe that's changed the way that you understand, well, when I pray, does God really hear me? Yes, God really hears you. Maybe as we talked about last week and we looked at this idea that God not only tolerates us coming to him about our needs, but the first thing that when God begins to speak to us about what we're to pray for, the first thing that God instructs us is pray about your needs. That these aren't meant to be an afterthought. These aren't meant to be just a demonstration of our lack of faith and trust in God. But as we look at the Lord's Prayer, the first thing that God instructs us to pray about ourselves is to pray about our needs. And so maybe you've been encouraged and felt more comfortable in saying, okay, then I can do that. I can come to God and say, God, this is what I need. Maybe as we've been talking about this desire to start a prayer team, and we said as we're walking through this, maybe God would begin to lead some of us to being willing to be a part of the prayer team. Maybe that's been a journey you've been on, where you feel like maybe God is lowering some mountains and raising some valleys in your life to be able to feel more confident and comfortable saying, I would be willing to pray for people. I could do that. Maybe the shape and the form of your prayers has changed a little. Last week, we sort of started into the second half of the Lord's Prayer. See, the first few verses are all about God and God, who he is and his kingdom and his will and all of these things. But then there's this transition that happens where we go from looking up at the Lord to looking within, to looking down at ourselves and at our lives. And we go from looking up to looking around. And last week, as I said, we talked about the practical needs of life, that Jesus would teach us to say, give us today our daily bread. And bread is symbolic of all the things that we need to make it through, all the desires of our heart, our prayer requests. God, give me the things that I need. And we understand that there is no division for God between the practical and the spiritual. That sometimes we can feel like, well, this is just such a practical thing. Can I even pray about that? Is it selfish? Is it a lack of faith? But for God, those two things are completely connected to one another. But then as we continue to journey through the Lord's Prayer, we go from the practical needs that Jesus calls us to pray about, and then he calls us to focus on one of our deepest spiritual needs. That we go from focusing on the things we need to get through life to focusing on something that our soul really needs to understand. He calls us to look at forgiveness. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But before we dive in, we'll take another look at the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus will say, this is how I want you to pray. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And today what we're going to do is we're going to focus on verse 12, where it says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, the first thing we have to understand, and the first thing that we have to just make sure we're all on the same page about, is this verse is not speaking about finances. That this isn't somehow us coming to God, and if you've borrowed money from God, you're released to ask him to forgive your debt, and that you need, if you've ever lent money to anyone, every time you come and pray, you should pray that God would help you just to forgive their debt. It's not about money, but what we recognize and we know, we understand, hopefully, and if not, we will in a second, that debt equals sin. That as we come and we pray, God, forgive us our debt and help us to forgive those who are in debt to us, that we're talking about sin. God, forgive me of my own sin. And God, help me to forgive those who have sinned against me. And so Jesus invites us, last week we saw, invites us to pray what we see as our needs, and then invites us to pray for one of the most profoundly deep needed parts of our soul, to both forgive and to be forgiven. But the structure of this verse that Jesus gives us to pray, the words that Jesus gives us to pray here, it's very interesting because there is a request, but then also seemingly an assumption that Jesus makes, that he gives us a request to make, but then that's also built upon a seeming assumption about who we are and what we've already done. So the first part is the request, and forgive us our debts. The first part is the request that our debts would be forgiven. Right at the beginning, we're called to recognize our need for forgiveness. Jesus, in this instruction, starts from the place that if we're honest with ourselves and we're honest with God, we're going to understand our need for forgiveness. That as often as we pray this prayer, we're going to need to come to God again and again and again with our need to be forgiven. Now, sometimes this can be a place where some of us might fall down just even in that idea, that somehow there's something wrong with me. That somehow I've done, that somehow I need to be forgiven. That sometimes we can live from a place of either pride, or sometimes it's insecurity that manifests itself like pride, where we can either from pride say, I don't need to be forgiven, or we can be so insecure about the things we've done that we don't want to address them, so we pretend like we don't need to be forgiven. But we need to, Jesus will instruct us to begin our understanding of forgiveness with the humble recognition that each one of us, when we come to pray, we come with a heart that says, God, I know I need your forgiveness. God, I know I need you to forgive me. And that's the beauty of our faith. That's the beauty of the Christian faith, is that it centers on a God who forgives. It centers on a God who loves, who shows mercy and grace to his creation, who forgives those who have wronged him. That with him our debts can be forgiven. See, in the Old Testament, they had a system, a sacrificial system to try and pay the price, pay the penalty for sin. But it was never fully complete. That it was this cyclical yearly, they had to perform all these different sacrifices throughout the month and the year, where they'd have to come back again and again to these places just to try and make amends for the things that they've done. And they would have to come back again and again and again to sacrifice another animal and another animal and another animal so that they could find forgiveness. But the New Testament shows us how to understand those sacrifices, and that they pointed to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And our debts can be fully paid when we let God pay them. Our sins can be erased. In Christ, we can be set free from sin. That Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was such that we don't need to sacrifice again and again and again and again. That when Jesus gave his life for you and for me on the cross, it paid for all of our sins. It's washed us white as snow, and we are set free from sin and the consequence of sin. The forgiveness we receive from the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, it's offered to each of us every time we ask for it. Whenever we come to God for sacrifice, for forgiveness, he doesn't say, well, we need to make another sacrifice. The last sacrifice wasn't enough. I guess we have to send Jesus back again. No, we recognize that when in the sacrifice of Jesus, we have been given the gift of forgiveness whenever we ask for it. But that also asks us to take the step of asking for it, to admit to God what we've done and to ask him to forgive us. See, God's forgiveness is bigger than your sin. No matter what you may have heard in your past, no matter what someone may have said to you, no matter what you may have said to yourself, no matter what you may believe about yourself and the things you've done, I want to make sure right now, right here, you hear the truth in your present about your past and your future. See, friends, there's no sin that you can commit that can't be forgiven by our God. Nothing. The deep, dark secrets that you've committed, that you hold with inside of you, that eat you up inside, but that you've never told anyone because you're too ashamed, you're too afraid, you're too worried, those can be forgiven. The person you've betrayed, that you carry around knowing I did them wrong, that can be forgiven. The hateful words you've spoken, or maybe that you thought, those are forgivable. That whatever it is that we have done wrong, we can be forgiven. There may be something coming to mind even in your heart and in your soul right now, or maybe you never even needed to be reminded of it, that you just live with it daily. We all have these moments, but we're invited to just simply confess it, to receive forgiveness, and live free. It's really that simple. In fact, it's as easy as this prayer. I want to give you some words to be able to verbalize this. If you say, well, what does it look like to confess my sin? What does it look like to ask God for forgiveness? What does it look like for me to be forgiven? What's the magic phrase? There is none. It's as simple as a prayer like this. Heavenly Father, I know what I did was wrong. Please forgive me for my sin. Help me to turn from my sin and walk in the freedom you offer me. That we can receive forgiveness and mercy and grace in a moment simply by just acknowledging our need for it and asking God to provide it. God has forgiven you for your past sins, and he'll forgive you for your future sins as well. But the other part of this is forgiveness is only extended to the places it's asked for. See, if we don't go looking for forgiveness, if we don't come to God admitting our need to be forgiven, we won't receive forgiveness because we haven't asked for it. It's like being sick and needing a cure. If we don't go to the doctor, if we don't go to the one who has the cure, we'll never be cured. And simply knowing that if I was to go to the doctor, they would provide me with a cure, and so I would be cured, doesn't actually cure us. And so if we say, I know that if I go to God and I ask him for forgiveness, he will forgive me, we still need to take the step of going to God and asking for forgiveness, that we need to come to him and not just know that he would forgive us, but to take the step to have him forgive us. Although we are forgiven at the cross and our debt is dealt with, that we don't have to sacrifice again and again and again, we should have a heart to continually come to God to be forgiven. In our relationship with God as our Father in heaven, as our perfect parent, we need to be clear about what we've done wrong when we meet with him. Unconfessed and undealt with sin can become a barrier between him and us, just like it can in any relationship. That we can somehow sometimes try and think that if we just don't talk about it, maybe it'll get better all on its own. But that's not how relationship works, and that's not how our relationship with our Heavenly Father works. But just like God, Jesus calls us to ask for our daily bread, we can come to God and ask for our daily forgiveness. God, forgive me. For all the places that I need forgiveness, God, would you come and forgive me? So this section begins with this request, and forgive us our debts. This recognition that we are both going to need to be forgiven and that when we come to God, he will forgive us. But after this portion, it becomes the part with the seeming assumption. This implied assumption that takes place where God, the action is to forgive us our debts with the implied assumption, with the seeming assumption where it says, as we have forgiven our debtors. The grammar of the sentence here reads like this: God, forgive us the same way that we have forgiven others. The action, The verb that's in the present is to forgive us, and then in the past is as we have forgiven. The idea being, God, forgive me now the way that I have forgiven those already. It's seemingly implied that we have been forgiven, or that we have forgiven other people in a way that we would like to be forgiven. The seeming assumption is that we even have forgiven them. That in all ready forgiveness of others, we would receive forgiveness for ourselves. And for many of us, this is a tough pill. This is a hard moment. Because forgiving others seems to be an expectation that God has given us. But that doesn't make it easy. That doesn't make it somehow no problem. Forgiveness for so many of us in so many places in our lives can be extremely hard to do. But my friends, what we see here is that those who are forgiven need to forgive. And we can sort of outside of ourselves understand that this makes sense, that this is true. That if the medicine of sin, the medicine of broken relationship, the thing that makes us be able to move forward with God is forgiveness, then it becomes incumbent on us to give that medicine to others who need it. That we don't find this miracle cure that fixes this and then keep it quiet. But we recognize if this has worked in my life, I need to extend it to other people. But the reason why I keep trying to stress that it's a seeming expectation is because this principle, it's often misunderstood. And to the point where some people can assume, some people can teach, some people can even believe that God's forgiveness of us is dependent on whether or not we forgive other people. That God's forgiveness of us is dependent. We will only be forgiven if we have forgiven properly. If we haven't been willing to forgive, if there's somebody in our life that we have not yet forgiven, then God will refuse to forgive us. That statements like this are kind of a passive-aggressive threat towards us from God. That God would come and say, you know, I want to forgive you, but I think what I'll do is I'll forgive you the way that you've forgiven other people. So make your choice. That somehow God comes to us and makes it sort of this passive aggressive, you know, I'm not saying, I'm just saying kind of thing. But to understand this is to understand what the process of forgiveness looks like. See, we're not called to forgive other people as a first step. That's not where we're called to begin. That's not the assumed place that we begin, is that you begin first by forgiving everyone else and then come and talk to God about your forgiveness. But to understand forgiveness properly is to understand that God forgives first, and God forgives freely. The first step in forgiveness, the place where forgiveness begins, is in the heart of our Heavenly Father. That He forgives us first, and He forgives us freely. But then, because we have been forgiven, there is this assumption that our natural response should be for that forgiveness to automatically overflow into forgiveness of other people, that we would be so filled up with God's mercy and grace and His love for us that our lives would just be so full of it that it would begin to splash out of us and onto other people. That we would be so filled up with God's forgiveness and His mercy and His grace that the overflow of our hearts and our lives would be to look at other people and say, I see them through this lens that I now understand. That I have been forgiven so much, that God has done so much for me, that I can look at what other people have done to me and I can see them through this forgiveness that I have been given. See, our forgiveness and our forgiveness are not two different things. Our forgiveness aren't two separate things. What do I mean by that? Our forgiveness from God and our forgiveness of other people are not meant to be seen as two different things. That somehow they're these two independent actions of each other. That I can receive forgiveness from God, and then independence of that, I am then also responsible for forgiving someone else. That they're not meant to be seen as step one, step two. They're not meant to be seen as independent actions of one another. But they're meant to be seen as the continuation, the overflow of forgiveness, that I have been given, or I have been forgiven so much that in my life, forgiveness is poured out into my life, and as a result, I'm going to continue to give what I've been given. The Bible will tell us to freely receive, freely give. That it's meant to be this conduit where forgiveness comes into our lives and it comes out of our lives. Take a moment and bring to mind the ugliest sins that have hold of you right now. And when I say bring your worst, bring them all in your brain, in your thought. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, stealing, murder, adultery, coveting, pornography, alcohol, drugs, deceit, sensuality, racism, envy, slander, food, spiritual pride, gossip, bitterness, rudeness, boastfulness, whatever it might be in your life, your darkest spots, the places in your life that you would say, I don't like to traffic here and I don't want to go here and I don't want anyone to know that this place exists. And then we see those places of our lives in light of the deep, profound truth that Jesus has already gone before you. And his death covered all sins. And that, friends, means your sins. That when Jesus paid the penalty for all sin, that means your sin. His sacrificial act on the cross settled this issue. As a follower of Jesus, you have forgiveness of sins because of what Jesus did on the cross for you. And we claim God's truth. In John chapter 1, or 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it will say this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's a beautiful promise that if we are just willing to come to God with whatever it might be, God's promise is that he will forgive you. And not only will he forgive you, he will purify you from all unrighteousness. And if we bring our sin to God and say, God, I've done this, the promise is that God will take it from you and you'll be clean. But this is where that seeming expectation comes in. This is where the overflow is supposed to come in. Because God has been so generous with our forgiveness and gives and he extends forgiveness to us over and over and over again, the overflow of that in our lives would be that we would have the same heart for other people. See, we're not called to receive our forgiveness and then go out of obligation or expectation and forgive the sins of others, I guess. Or out of fear that if I don't do this, then maybe the next time I go to God, God's going to say, sorry, I can't hear you. I don't want to talk to you. You can't come and talk to me. You got to go deal with this. That we don't want to live from a place where we have to forgive out of obligation, but also we don't want to have to forgive out of fear. But as we receive our forgiveness from God, it's meant to inform how we see and understand how forgiveness works. See, God's forgiveness of us, it's meant to be an example. God's coaching us. He's showing us what forgiveness is meant to look like, and he's using us as his example. He's using you as your example. He's using all the times and places in your life where you've messed up, in my life where I've messed up, as his example, as his coach. And he says, look how I'm going to forgive you. That if you come to me and ask for forgiveness, I will give it to you. And so I want you to see how forgiveness works. If we receive forgiveness from God, it's meant to inform how we see and understand how forgiveness works. If God is like this to me, I need to be like this as well. See, there's unbreakable links between being forgiven and forgiving. Now, friends, I want to say this. I am under no illusions that forgiveness is easy. This is a message that is very easy to say. It's very hard to do. It's easy to simply say to some act of unkindness or sin, I forgive you. We do this with our kids all the time. You need to ask, you've done wrong, ask your brother or ask your sister for forgiveness.
Will you forgive me?
Then we need to respond. How do you respond?
I forgive you.
That it's easy to performatively forgive someone. It's easy to performatively say, I forgive you, and not mean it. And friends, last time when we were together and we were talking about the Lord's provision, we talked about how this message could be kind of poking you right where you hurt the most. The last week, as we talked about God's miraculous provision in our lives, that some may be living waiting for that provision, and we may be poking exactly where it hurts. Well, the same is true this week, that for some of us, forgiveness is where it hurts the most, whether it's to forgive ourselves or to forgive someone else, that some of us have been living with the weight of unforgiveness for ourselves. And some of us have been living with the weight of unforgiveness for other people. And it's easy to say, you need to forgive. It's a lot harder to do it. The reality is that there are some wounds that go so deep that the healing may take time and help from the Holy Spirit. But the beautiful promise we have in our relationship with God is that he doesn't ask us to do anything without him. So when he tells us we need to be a forgiving people, his promise to us is that he will come alongside and help us to forgive. That we don't do it apart from him, and we don't do it for him. We do it with him. And so we don't live under the weight or the guilt or the shame of, I don't know that I can do this. Friends, you probably can't. But what we do have is we have the ability to go to our Heavenly Father and say, God, the same way you forgave me, would you help that to become so part of who I am that you would help me to forgive other people? When we think about ourselves and our relationship with God, we can see that we've broken our relationship with God time and again and again. Friends, we sin, we fall short, we don't do the things we're supposed to do, and we do the things we're not supposed to. And we recognize that God doesn't have to forgive us. He could wash his hands of us. He could walk away from us. He could just hold a grudge and punish us for all eternity. But instead, God comes to us through his son, Jesus, embraces us, calls us brother and sister, and says, I forgive you. I don't hold your sins against you. I want to walk with you, and I want to be your friend. And so as God has forgiven us, we need to forgive those who have hurt us and to look to find forgiveness from the hurt with other people. As God has reconciled with us, we are called to reconcile with other people. And so I want to give you three takeaways from our time together, three things to remember, three things to go with you as you leave. First, God's forgiveness is a gift that's always within reach. No matter where you are at in your relationship with Him this morning, no matter what you've done, no matter how heavy the weight may seem, God's forgiveness is available to you right now. Second, when we experience God's forgiveness, it's meant to flow through us to others, that we who have been forgiven much need to forgive much. Freely you have received, freely give. And lastly, forgiveness is a journey, and we can't do it without God. You're not called to do it without God. You're not expected to do it without God. Let's pray together. Father God, we come before you with humble hearts, in humility. God, first recognizing our own sin. And God, for those here today who maybe struggle with the sin in their own lives, maybe through a hard heart or through pride or through arrogance, don't want to admit that they sinned. Or God, maybe for those at the other end of the spectrum, those who don't believe they can be forgiven, those who live with guilt and shame and fear and worry about the things they've done and about how you would receive them, about what forgiveness could possibly look like for a mess like this. And God, I pray right now that for those who struggle with forgiving themselves, God, I pray right now that you would just begin to speak to them, that you would begin to show them, that you would begin to work in their lives, to teach them, to show them, to help them understand that you have already forgiven them. And that we just simply need to come and acknowledge your forgiveness. That we just simply need to come and accept what's already been given. God, I pray that we wouldn't walk under guilt or shame or fear or worry about the things we've done, about our sin, about the places where we need to be forgiven. God, may we not be afraid to be forgiven. But God, would you help us to release the weight of our sin, to release the weight of what we've done, to be able to come into your presence and be loved and accepted and received by our Heavenly Father who will forgive us. God, I pray that you would help us to be forgiven. And God, I pray for those here today who are carrying around weight, who are carrying around hurt, who are carrying around offense, God, who have been hurt by other people, God, who justifiably struggle with the idea of forgiving someone else. God, I pray that in our lives, God, as we may struggle with the forgiving someone else, God, would you just pour out your love and your grace and your mercy in our lives in such a way that it would begin to change our vision, in such a way that it would begin to change the way we see other people. And we would go from a place of not being sure that we could forgive them to recognizing that you already have given us forgiveness and we can just extend it. God, I pray for those here who have carried the weight of hurt, the weight of unforgiveness. God, I pray for freedom in their lives. God, would you free them from unforgiveness? Would you give them the gift of being able to walk without the weight of the actions of other people? God, we pray that we would be a people who are free from unforgiveness. In your name we pray. Amen.
You don't know sin and shame. You don't need forgiveness.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go.
Thank you, Lord. I have a shepherd who always keeps me safe, and I found a healer, yes I did, who knows my every pain, and this is my story of redeeming love. I have come to know Him well. Compares, it's like nothing.